Good morning, church. Welcome to worship. Welcome to all of you who are live streaming with us. We're glad that we're connected in this way and that we can all worship together. My name is Rockford Johnson. I serve as senior pastor here, and it's a great joy to be in service with you in mission and ministry with so many good leaders in this church. As we come together today and as we connect, we remember this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ushers are passing the connection pads, and we hope that you'll leave us some information about yourself, help each other know each other as you pass those. And if you're online, of course, would you go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and go to the virtual worship page and let us know that you're connected with us today. We appreciate that very much. Let us know how we can pray with you. There are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you, or you can also go do that on our website as well, the front page of mcfarlandumc.org. There's a red prayer request button on that front page. You can tap or click there and let us know how we can pray with you. If this is your first time with us today, we have welcome cards in the racks in the pew in front of you, and we would love for you to fill one out if you would like to and leave it with one of the greeters at either door as you exit, and let them give you a gift bag as a token of our friendship, and we hope that we will see you again. Charge Conference, annual Charge Conference, happens this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. on Zoom, and we invite you to be a part of that if you want to be. Also, Advent is coming. Advent Festival comes on the first Sunday of Advent, November 28, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and you can go to our website, of course, and find about all the events and the great worship services to be a part of during the Advent and into Christmas season. We hope that you'll do that, be a part of that. We're sending out our Advent devotional book almost as we speak, and we hope that you'll find that useful in your faith and spiritual life. As we come together today, I want you to know our preacher for the day. With us is the Reverend Dr. Victor McCullough. He serves as district superintendent. Also, another way to say that is key missional strategist for the Heartland District of the Oklahoma United Methodist Church. And so he has one of eight districts in our state, which includes Norman and McFarland. And so we relate to him. In some ways, he is my boss, of course. And so I'm glad to have him with us today. He's a friend. He's a colleague. He's a great minister in the church. He has served for over 30 years in churches in Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. He was ordained in 1990. He hails from Dallas, Texas originally, and has made his way here, and we're glad that he's among us. Most recently, before becoming district superintendent, he was the senior pastor at Quail United Methodist Church in Oklahoma City for several years, and I got to know him there, and then we both served in different districts together for a few years before I came to Norman. Dr. McCullough is convinced that the church can be a catalyst for changing the world, and we believe that along with him. When he was a student at the University of Texas at Arlington, he tells that he got involved in campus ministry there, and God used the young people in that ministry to pour God's joy and peace into his life, and at that time he gave himself fully to follow Jesus Christ into ministry and do all that to the glory of God. I'm glad to know him as a friend and as a colleague, and today we have also his wife, also an ordained United Methodist pastor, Nancy McCullough, and his daughter Via Faith, and we welcome you today. Thank you for being among us. Victor, I am so glad that you are here, that you will preach for us, and so we'll hear you gladly when you come at that moment. And now let us stand together to sing, or connect together to sing, hymn number 160, Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart.
Thank you. let us join together now in the affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
It's our great joy today to have a time for holy baptism. If you'll turn in your hymnals to page 33, church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all this is God's gift offered to us without price. Today I want to present for baptism Elizabeth Ball and Maisie. Hi, Maisie. and Edward. And for confirmation and profession of faith, Caleb Ball, who's already baptized as an infant. This is Caleb and Elizabeth, Maisie and Edward Ball. And so let me ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture your children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If both of you will, say, I will.
I will.
And church, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. We'll pour the water and join in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, to make disciples of all nations, declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the peoples. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Elizabeth, let me invite you to come to the kneeling rail. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit work within you that, being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may stand. Caleb, let me invite you to come in front of the rail here and kneel. You've been baptized. Reach out and touch the water. Remember that you have been baptized. The Holy Spirit work within you that, having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Maisie, we're ready to baptize you. Can I hold you? Maisie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The
the Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Hi. Edward, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit work within you that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you now, Elizabeth and Caleb, as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Church, printed in your bulletin is the response. We welcome you to this congregation, and with you we renew our vows to uphold the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Amen. We have a Bible. Pastor Wendy is going to present that. For you and your family, as you journey with us to learn and grow as disciples of Jesus Christ and help us carry out the wonderful ministries that God gives us in and through this place. These are God's children among us. Thanks be to God. Let us sing. This past week was Veterans Day, of course, and I'd like to ask those of you who are here and even those of you who are joining us by live stream, if you're a veteran or a spouse of a veteran, would you stand and let us recognize you today and say thanks? Thank you, and let us pray. God of the world, God of our hearts, God of all nations, we give thanks for the service and sacrifice of veterans among us and those over the years, and for their families, for dedication, for desire, for what is good and right. Bless them and keep them. We give you thanks today for Caleb and Elizabeth and Maisie and Eddie, for their lives among us, for the celebration of new life today. Oh God, you are the one who inspires us to live a life worthy of your grace. And sometimes we are distracted by attractions unworthy of your holy and good love. Some days we trespass against even those close to us. Sometimes we are intimidated by challenges to health and well-being, to work in relationships, and to believing and participating as disciples. But always, we know you are faithful and true. True to set us free so that we might live in a manner that values your love for us and for the world. Daily, we affirm that you empower us to strive first for your divine priorities. Every day, even when we struggle or rejoice, we trust that you are working within us. And when we doubt, O Lord, inspire us to trust again. Today, it is our privilege not only to worship in the luxury of great music and in the joy of good fellowship, but also to be called into the work of the ministry of the good news in Jesus. Guide and enable us to live well in family, in business, and society. Help us. Help us, O God, to strive together for the redemption of the world, praying with one voice as Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 452, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, 452.
We are so blessed here at McFarland to be a part of a church that answers God's call over and over again to serve others. This past week, we celebrated the completion of construction on the Habitat for Humanity house by our United Methodist men, and it is because of the long hours of work and dedication and giving that a mother and her daughter now have a home of their own. We also had a wonderful Commitment Sunday last week, and I want to invite you that if you have not already made your financial commitment for 2022, to go ahead and do that today. It is our plan and our desire always to budget to live within our means, and the way that we do that is because you let us know how much you plan to give. And so please leave your commitment card with us today. We are here because there is no greater joy or meaning in life than to share God's news of salvation, to make God's love known in this world. That is why we are here. And so thank you for giving so faithfully to continue to change lives that change the world. And so may God bless our tithes and our offerings today. And you may be seated. Be seated. Our scripture today comes from Philippians in the first chapter, starting at verse 27. Hear these words. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad therein. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. For those of you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, if you are excited and as glad to be here this day in person or virtually in worship, could you just give a big amen throughout the sanctuary and wherever you are? Amen. It is indeed good and great to be here in the presence of God and in the presence of all of you. And as I stand, I want to just appreciatively applaud the leadership and the membership of McFarlan Memorial United Methodist Church here in Norman, Oklahoma. It is indeed a fine honor to come and to share with you this morning and to celebrate with you the wonderful works that you are doing in times like these. Indeed, we are grateful that in spite of all that we're going on and that is going on in our society and throughout the world, that you are committed in being responsible and in fulfilling God's mission in the world and your particular charge to change lives that change the world. So we applaud you in that regard. This worship experience has been wonderful, and I invite you to just join me in celebrating the wonderful music ministry of McFarlan Church. Amen. As you can see and hear, I have a little frog in my throat, so if you don't mind, I'm going to take a little sip here. And with your prayers, I will share the word that the Lord has put on my heart today. I'm thankful for Pastor Wendy as she has read for us from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. And she read that out of the New Revised Standard Version. I'm going to call your attention back to that passage, for I will use it throughout the day in an expository fashion. But for our purposes this morning and as we start, I want to call your attention to the first part of verse 27 of Philippians chapter 1 from the Message translation. And it reads, meanwhile, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. That's what I want to talk about this morning, brothers and sisters, living in the meanwhile. Will you join me in the spirit of prayer? Gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for your great and greatly to be praised. Thank you for this time that we share in worship, whether in person or virtually. Lord, we invite your Spirit just to continue, hover among us, dwell in us, and use this moment to speak, Lord, for your people are listening. We ask this in the powerful, matchless name of Jesus, our Lord, and all who agree say together, Amen. Living in the meanwhile. Methodist theologian Neil Fisher reminds us in the community of faith that faithfulness in the Christian life does not await full disclosure of all mysteries. Instead, our faithfulness occurs as we faithfully act upon what we already know. Beloved, I can agree with Professor Fisher to a certain extent, but we are challenged today because in the midst of what we think we know and what we have known, we're living in a time of ambiguity, a time of uncertainty, a time when people are retreating from what we have always known, and even the values that held us together. Yet, in ambiguous times, God is still calling the church to new vistas, to create new possibilities, to discover new capacities, and to shape a rapidly changing world with fresh acts of God's love and justice. A vision of a man standing across the sea, standing and saying, come over here and help us, marked Paul's entrance into Macedonia. Paul set up his itinerant ministry in Philippi, a city in the Macedonian region. While in Philippi, Paul and the people established a cordial and warm and mutually uplifting relationship. God used Paul and the team to bring people to faith in Christ and to set them on the right track, if you will, to be focused upon building joy and confidence in God's will and God's purposes of the first century with this first century church. Now, fast forward. Several years have passed, and Paul is still maintaining a very positive relationship with the church in Philippi. Paul is now incarcerated in Rome, yet he is still being used by God to influence the people of Philippi. Paul was in a Greco-Roman quarantine, if you will, not of his own choosing. Paul wants to come to them. Paul longs and desires to be with the congregation, to be with the people of faith, and they want to be with him. But it's a virtual, it's a social distancing situation. How can we help people that you can't reach because of circumstances beyond your control? Many of us have asked that question. For Paul, it was persecution and imprisonment. for our pastors and congregations today, it has been a global health pandemic, which has changed what we wear, where and how we worship, and even how we die or mourn the loss of a loved one. Beloved, I believe that there's a word for those of us who feel vulnerable in times like these, between or betwixt and between a precarious predicament on one hand and a future that is fruitful that we've not yet arrived. When life is uncertain and you don't know what to do, I want to talk today and encourage you, I hope, with this message. How do we live in the meanwhile? In the meanwhile, when sickness invades your body or an emotional crisis stalls you on life's path, in the meanwhile, when your business comes off the rails or a job loss has thwarted your economic success or dreams of a high-impact future, in the meanwhile, during the seasons of educational disruption and racial inequity and cultural protests and isolation and vaccinations and hurricanes, church, when crises beyond our control threaten to overwhelm our very existence, God's people can still be clear in our purpose, caring in our ministry with the hurting, and courageous in our creating and shaping the world in the meanwhile. So this morning, brothers and sisters of McFarland, there are a couple of things that I believe the text from Philippians 1 and 27 says that inspires the saints, you and I, with the joy and the confidence that we need to continue to pursue the will and the purposes of God and to live out in love with Christ and Christ's mission in the world. First of all, let me suggest to you, resolve to be Christ-like in your way of life. In the meanwhile, let us resolve to be Christ-like in our way of life. Verse 27 says, meanwhile, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. Paul says, let your deep and dedicated walk with Jesus be so evident, church, that it is an asset and not a liability. In other words, we are to incarnate the body of Christ, to become the embodiment of the grace and the goodness and the love of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And wherever your sphere of influence would be, resolve, make up our minds to keep growing in Christ, deepening in the faith. Perhaps there are days when you think, as I have thought, why do I have to be the one that's always doing it the right way? Why can't I yell and swear and be honorary like everybody else? Why can't I cut corners or be mediocre or fudge a bit on the numbers? Why can't I quit or walk away because I'm tired or hurt? Are scared. Perhaps we could before deciding by God's grace to follow Jesus. But now there's been a change. There's been a transformation. Now really believing the message of the gospel has done something within us. This message of Jesus dying for us, forgiving our sins and changing our hearts. By grace, the Holy Spirit helps us to not only believe in Him, but to live for Him. Paul says, in the meanwhile, church, be a credit. Let our lives attribute positively to the message of Christ. So many people are scattered. Nobody else needs to be turned off from the gospel or the church. May our lives be used by God to attract and attribute value in following Jesus. Thank God that throughout this pandemic, McFarlane, so many of you have been a credit to the message. Yeah, I study you. I look at your live screen. I watch your publications, and I see what is going on. And I just want to commend you today because many have been a credit to the message. This message from the Word of God, Philippians 4, when times have been hard, money has been funny, change has been strange. And many of you have been a credit to the message that our God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. A credit to the message. The message from Isaiah 40, for instance, when you've been tired and weak, and yet you continue to press on and continue to serve and continue to give. You've been a credit to that message. Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, run and not get weary, walk and not faint. You've been a credit to the message. The message from Romans 8. When there's so much division and hatred and separation and protests and aggravation and disruption in the world, many have stood so that the world can know that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So Paul said, be a credit. But he also says in the text, remain consistent wherever you are. Verse 27 says, let nothing in your conduct hang on whether I come or not. Remember, Paul wasn't there. He was not physically in proximity to the church. But he was still connected, virtually, as you will, if you will. He was still connected, communicating with the best channels and methods of communication and technology that he could. He says, let nothing in your conduct hang on whether I come or not. This is your conduct must be the same whether I show up to see things for myself or to hear it from a distance. Church, we know that these last 2 years have been challenging for the church and all of us. Very challenging. Some people have not been able to come to church. But the good news is many have learned how to have church wherever they are. Right there in their house. As many are on the live stream today, many have turned their living rooms and their dens and their kitchens out of necessity into sanctuaries, into prayer rooms, and into discipleship centers. Through this pandemic, I'm convinced that God is up to something. God is up to something that's bigger than this moment, something that's more in eternal than the temporary times in which we're living. When we interact with others and speak our words and handle our business as those who trust the God of the meanwhile with our lives, then family and neighbors and friends and strangers will know that we have been in the presence of the Lord. And that's why it says, be the same. Let your faith be the same. Let your worship be the same. Let your commitment to give and to serve be the same. Let your devotion to the gospel be the same. It's not time to let up. It's time to press in. further in and deeper down. Let your devotion be the same. Let your commitment to give and to serve be the same. Here's why. The word God implanted into our lives through the gospel will produce fruit. So in the meanwhile, wherever you are, Christian, remain the same. Finally, he says here, stand united, singular in vision, contending for people's trust in the message, which is the gospel, the good news. And then he asks this phrase, and I love it in the Message translation. It says it this way, not flinching or dodging. Amen. Not being shaken nor intimidated by the opposition in the slightest. Hey, here's the thing, church. Remember, in the meanwhile, we have to focus boldly on the work that God has given us to do. In this world where we see so much chaos and so much confusion and we see so much that is not like God intended it. When God created the world, God has been on a mission. God's work has been to continue to create. And guess what? Calls us into the purpose of creating and shaping a better world. Songwriter says, how to reach the masses. Jesus gives the key. If I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. See, we unintentionally or sometimes intentionally separate ourselves into territories and into tribes and into groups and into factions. Yet once we let our lives be connected to Jesus, we are united. Not only are we united with the Lord, we are united with one another. For the kingdom is made up of all nations and all people's groups, of all backgrounds, and it's His life within us that unites us, that we can strive together, that we can keep the same vision, that we can contend for the message of the faith. So when we remember the vision, remember that vision is to keep lifting Jesus up. Lift Jesus up through our worship. The vision is to keep lifting Jesus up. Lift Jesus up through our discipleship. The vision is to lift Jesus up, to keep lifting Jesus up through our ministry. The vision is to lift Jesus up so that we can continue God's work with boldness to create new possibilities and change lives through our outreach. That's what you have said, McFarland. And I come and I thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come, inviting me to come, because I want to come and like Paul, who loved the congregation at Philippi, I have mad love for you. I don't come because the church is in a crisis. I come because I want to encourage you to continue to keep the joy and keep the confidence that God is using you to change lives that will change the world. Paul loved this community of faith, and he knew that they had gone through some tough spots. He makes it clear that his future was uncertain, and his life was at risk. So he ends the passage with the charge, no flinching and no dodging. Now, don't be scared. God
is with you. We've seen many deaths. We've had many losses. Circumstances have changed economically for so many amongst us. But God says, I'm not through with you yet, McFarland. No flinching. No dodging. Continue to be determined, to be ferociously courageous in showing fierce love and justice in the world. In other words, he's saying to the church, in your moments of vulnerability, let your faith in God, faithfulness, create a bold path of ferocious courage. And here's the good news. Paul puts it this way in another text. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Talking about living. In the meanwhile, when we are not ashamed of the gospel. Pastor Rockford told you earlier in the introduction that it was about 40 years ago when I was in college. And growing up in the church was not really in me, not in the way that my life was being changed. But it was there in a college setting that I met a group of friends, and because of their commitment to God, their love for Jesus and their love for one another, it captured my heart, and I wanted that. A song that characterizes that period of time was an old Andre Crouch gospel song called We Are Not Ashamed of the Gospel. You know it. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, that song makes me think of my fresh faith. That song makes me think of the times when I was bold and couldn't do any wrong in my desire to live for Jesus. It also makes me think of the Apostle Paul. See, Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, that is the non-Jews. He was enthusiastic about carrying the gospel. Oh, he had gone on one missionary journey, two missionary journeys, and he was determined he was going to go on another one, and this time he was going to take the gospel to the ends of the world. He was excited about carrying the gospel to Europe, wanted to make it to Spain. He was excited about fellowshipping with Roman Christians once he returned to Rome, but his plans were thwarted. Paul was arrested and in prison, and eventually he was executed. And he never lost hope. On one hand, he was arrested. On the other, he had a desire, a longing to get to Rome, to get to Spain, to take the gospel to Europe. The church, the challenge was living in the meanwhile, living between the desire and the imprisonment. Desire to go to Rome, desire to go to Spain, but he never made it there. Yet in the meanwhile, he never lost his faith in the power of the gospel. You see, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. We realize that it was the gospel that's the power of God for salvation unto anyone, anywhere, that will truly believe it. The power of God unto salvation. The gospel gives clarity of vision. The gospel gives power
of purpose. The gospel gives strength in your struggles. The gospel gives victory over defeat. The gospel gives love for living. It's the power of hope for tomorrow. It's the courage to face evil. It's the determination to fight injustices. Living in the meanwhile. Between the prayer and the answer. The meanwhile. Between the problem and the solution. The meanwhile. Between the sickness and the healing. The meanwhile. Between the storm and the peace. Church, all I've come to say today is that we serve a God who will meet you in the meanwhile. God bless you. And all praise and honor be to the God of our meanwhiles. Amen.
Congregation, join us in singing our closing hymn, 102, Now Thank We All Our God, 102. Please stand.
It's been a wonderful day to be together. Elizabeth and Caleb, and all your family here at the front, we are blessed to be joined together with you in this baptism and confirmation. Dr. McCullough, it's been good to be with you, and thank you for bringing the word today. Would you dismiss us with a benediction?
Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we have gone through so many changes. Pandemics, protests, partisanism. But in the midst of our mountain highs and our valley lows, we serve a God who is with us, loves us, and cares for us in the meanwhile. Go in peace. Love God. Serve God's people. Amen.